Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and we are 8 lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Yud Beis Amid Beis, the two dots, V'noidois Yayin V'shemen. Today's daf is being learned as a Zechus Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sara Aliza, Avram ben Gittel, Avram Kadesh ben Malka Bela, Avram Yekasil ben Gittel, Chana Gittel bas Brindel, Rafal Chaim Shayoshev ben Baba Chaya Rivka, Yehuda Leib Chizkiyo ben Basya, Chaim ben Yama Mordechai ben Ida, Chizkiyo Shloime Ziskin ben Nechama, Yosef Tzvi ben Chana Henela, Yitzchak ben Yamin ben Sara Fremit, Yerachmiel Tzvi Moshe ben Chana, Rav Chaim Doiv ben Kreindel, Yael bas Bela, Shoshana Tova bas Esther, Michal Shoshana bas Tova Hadassah, and Chava Serol bas Chana Freda. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Yechiel Yosef ben Tzvi Betzalel, Shloime Zeb ben Avram Yitzchak, Mordechai Ziskin ben Meir Elchanan, and Baruch Tzvi ben Ephraim Zalman Halevi. So we just began the 15th perek of Masechet Shabbos, perek Ve'eluk Sharim, which begins dealing with the melacha of kosher. And what we saw at the beginning of the perek is that there are three types of knots as it relates to Hilchas Shabbos. There are certain knots that one is not allowed to tie on Shabbos. If he does, he violates Chilul Shabbos midoraisa. There are other knots that one is not allowed to tie on Shabbos. However, if he does, he won't violate Chilul Shabbos midoraisa. In other words, it's Pater Aval Aser. And then finally, there's another group of knots that one is allowed to tie lichatchila. Just like there are three levels of kisharim as it relates to the malacha of kosher, there are also three types of kisharim as it relates to the malacha of matar. So whereas kosher means to tie the knot, matar means to untie the knot. And there too, depending on what type of knot it is, that will determine whether or not the matar is a matar midoraisa, it's matar midrabanan, or the matar is mutar. It's something that you're even allowed to do, lichatchila, says the Gemara. The Mishnah had said, v'noidos yayin v'shemen. So once upon a time, flasks of wine and oil were tied with a knot, and the Mishnah says one is allowed to untie those knots, even lichatchila, meaning it's not asa midoraisa, it's not also and Pashat, the reason is because these knots were meant to constantly be open and closed. So they're not knots that were meant to be on any level of permanence, and that's why you let it open up the katchila. So the Gemara says, pshita. Why would you think otherwise? So the Gemara says, leitzricha, this leitartioni. It's talking about where these flasks had two openings. So ma'udatim, I would have thought, chadim inai betulim bevatala kamash malon. So I would have thought to open up both of them maybe is aser, because it's true, one of them for sure is going to be open or closed, but the other one's not necessarily going to be open or closed. So what gives you the right to open up both of them? That's the chiddush, that either one you open is okay, even the katchila. The Mishnah said, kedera shel basar, a pot that was tied with a knot, that's also something you let to open on Shabbos. Pshita, why would you think otherwise? Again, there's no permanence to this knot. So why should it be a problem? It's talking about where it's possible to get the food out of the pot even without untying this knot. So I would have thought, being that you don't necessarily have to untie the knot, maybe the intention of the person is never to untie it. How's he going to get the food out? He'll get it out some other way. Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush, that these knots were meant to be untied, and therefore it's not aser to untie them on Shabbos. Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov said, Koishrin lifnei behema b'shvil shaloi teitze. You're allowed to tie a rope in front of an animal so that the animal won't be able to get out of a room. So if you have an animal trapped in a certain area and you want to leave it there, so you're allowed to tie a rope just so that it stays there. We're not talking about trapping an animal as in the malach of tzad. We're talking about an animal that you're just trying to control a little bit. So the Gemara says, again, pshita, why would you think that this knot is not allowed to be tied? This is something that's constantly tied and untied. So the Gemara says a similar teretz. It's talking about where there were two of them. So it's true, meaning certainly one of them was going to be untied. But both of them, maybe one of them was going to be left there for a little while. So you would have thought that it's not okay to open both of them. Again, that's the chiddush kamash malon, that you're allowed to open up either one. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, mashmul halacha k'Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Halacha is like what Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said in this Mishnah. Amar Abaye said, halacha mechal, from the fact that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov, what does it sound like? It sounds like there's a machlokes. It sounds like the Chachamim argued with Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov, and that's why Shmuel had to clarify that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov, and Abaye was taken aback. Abaye told Rabbi Yosef, again, almost every time in Shas when Rabbi Yosef says something, Abaye has a comment. So Rabbi Yosef said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who said in the name of Shmuel, something very simple. The halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov. Abaye says, Rabbi Yosef, halacha, the Bichal de Pligi. So Amalei, he told him, my nafkalachmino. He says, Rabbi Yosef told Abaye, he says, why do you care so much? Let's say the Chachamim don't argue with Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. It's still true that the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. In fact, certainly the halacha then is like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So why are you nitpicking on what I said? I didn't say something wrong. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov made a statement. I said the halacha follows like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. You're being medayik that, oh, it sounds like there's a machloikis. It says, who cares if there's a machloikis? We don't paskin like that. Other shita anyways. So Amalei, so he told him, Gemara's Marta Tesis, what is this, a niggin? This is a song? This is Torah. And as a result, you have to be very precise with everything that you say. And as a result, if there's no machloikis between Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov, if everybody in unison agrees that this is the halacha, then you have no choice but to state it that way and to say halacha Rabbi Eliezer and Yaakov and mislead to maybe think that there's a machloikis. That's something you're not allowed to do. I mean, another ha'ara that the Gemara doesn't ask is that why did Shmuel have to say Halachik Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov? We have a rule in Klolei Hapsak, Mishnas Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kav Venoki, which means there aren't a lot of halachis mentioned in Mishnayis in the name of Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. They're Kav. Kav is a small measurement, but Venoki, everything Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov said is pure. What's the practical ramification of that? Halacha Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov b'chol makom. So again, why would Rabbi Yosef have to say in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, halacha Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov? Abaye had an issue, halacha mechal de pligi. He said, nobody argues, so obviously that's the halacha. But more, even if there would be a machloikis, Mishnas Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov is kavanoki. This is Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov in the Mishnah. Now in the past, we've mentioned the Kesef Mishnah, who says maybe only Mishnas Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov is kavanoki. So Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov says something in a Mishnah, the halacha is always like him. What if Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says something in a Braisa? Not necessarily. But this is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in the 15th parak of Masechet Shabbos. So what's the Chiddush halacha Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov? Isn't the rule Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kavanaki? So what comes to mind is the Rosh in Masechet Erevin. The Rosh says in Masechet Erevin that he has a Mesoira that Mishnas Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kavanaki, Kav is Begematria 102. Kuf Beis. And that means there are 102 times where the halacha was like Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. It doesn't mean the halacha is always like Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. 102 times, which means it opens up a door that just because Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov said something, and just because it's in a Mishnah, it doesn't necessarily mean the halacha is like him. So it would explain why Rabbi Yosef had to say in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, who had to say in the name of Shmuel, halacha, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. What do you mean? That's a rule. Mishnas Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov, Kav Venokia, only Kav, 102 times. How do you know this is one of the 102? That's the context of that Rosh in Erevin. He was discussing a sugi with Allah is not like Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. He said, how could it be? Mishnas Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Kavanaki. Said the Rosh, the Fi, my Messiah, it's only 102 times. Maybe the sugi in Erevin is not one of the 102. You would have thought maybe this Mishnah in Shabbos is not one of the 102. This two is an example of halacha Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. Either way, more halacha is related to kosher, and then the second part of the daf is going to be an epic digression. Says the Mishnah, kosherin deli bipsikya. Someone is allowed to use a beged to tie a pail to a well. Avaloi bechevel. But if you want to use a rope, that's not something you're allowed to do. What's pashit the reason? If you're going to use a rope, chances are you're going to leave it there. If you're going to leave it there, you're making a kesher shel kayomo. You're making a knot that's going to be there permanently. That's not something you're allowed to do on Shabbos. But if you're going to take a shirt, you're going to use a beged, and you're going to tie it to the pail, which is now tied to the well, chances are you're going to want your shirt. You're going to want to take it. So being that it's not going to be there permanently, it's a kesher aroy, it's a temporary knot, and that's something that you're allowed to do. It falls into category three. Category C, as it relates to the different buckets, the different categories of kosher, this is something that you would be allowed to do, says the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda, however, argued. Rabbi Yehuda said that you're even allowed to use a rope. The Gemara will explain Rabbi Yehuda's sheet. Klalam Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, this is the rule that you have to know for Hilcha Shabbos, as it relates to kosher. Kol kesher, she'enoi shol kayoma, in chayovin olav. Any kesher that's not a kesher shol kayoma, in chayovin olav. Now, it's interesting. This is actually the second rule as it relates to kosher that we had in the Masech, in this parak. The first one was the first Mishnah. Remeir Oimer, kol kesher shu yochel atireh be'achas be'yodav in chayav and olav. Any kesher that you can untie with one hand, that's not something you chayav for. Rabbi Yehuda has a different rule. Kol kesher she'inu shel kayomo in chayav and olav. So there's a lot of rules, a lot of klolim in Masech the Shabbos. In fact, one of the most festive prakim in the Masech is Perek Klal Gadol. So there's a lot of klalim in Masech the Shabbos. Here we have a machloikis between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, old Bali Plukta, as it relates to what the rule is. What's the klal as it relates to kosher? According to Reb Meir, if you can untie it with one hand, that's not a kesher, shechayav and olav. According to Reb Yehuda, kol kesher she'ena shel kayom, that's a kesher she'en chayav and olav. Either way, so we had a machloikis in the beginning of the Mishnah between the Tanakhama, the Chachamim, and Reb Yehuda. The Chachamim said you're allowed to use a beged to tie a pail to a well. But you're not allowed to use a rope. Rabbi Yehuda says you can use a beged and you can even use a rope. Says the Gemara, this rope that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham argued about, what kind of rope are we discussing? Are we talking about a traditional, conventional rope that people would tie onto a well? Rabbi Yehuda matter, kesher shel kayomo. How could Rabbi Yehuda be matter? It's a kesher shel kayomo. And Rabbi Yehuda in the next breath said that klal omer Rabbi Yehuda called kesher she'ena shel kayomo in chayav and olav. And this rope is certainly a kesher shel kayomo. Ella, the Gemara says chevel de gardi. What it means is a rope that was used by weavers, meaning it's not a traditional rope. It's not the rope that people used to use. Also not a beged. It's this in-between rope. But the point is, it's a chevel that wasn't traditionally used. Therefore, chances are you're not going to leave it there for a long time. The Chachamim say it's too similar to a regular rope, and therefore you're not allowed to use it. Rabbi Yehuda says that, no, it's not similar enough. And just like you can use a beged because it's not a kesher shel kayama, you can use this weaver's rope because it's also not a kesher shel kayama. Frank the Gemara, maybe the Rabbanon Sabi goes, chevel de gardi, chevel de amo. So it sounds like, what's the machlokes? Like, the Rabbanon made a gzeira. Don't use a chevel de gardi. Don't use the weaver's rope because you may use a regular rope. Rabbi Yehuda said, like, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't worried about the zeira. I'll ask you a kasha. Chevel deli shenifsak. If you have a chevel, this rope that attached the pail to the well that broke, it snapped. Lo yehi kosher, you're not allowed to tie it on Shabbos. So here we're talking about the regular rope. So you're not allowed to tie it on Shabbos, that we know. But what you could do is you can make a bow with it. Rabbi Yehuda says, Karuchel of Punda or Psikya. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can't make a bow. What you could do is you could take a beged and try to improvise, keep it together somehow. But you can make a bow. So we have a machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. You have a chevel that attaches the pail to the well, and it snapped. This is not a beged, this is not the weaver's chevel, this is the good old-fashioned chevel, the one that you're not allowed to tie on Shabbos, that everybody agrees you're not allowed to tie on Shabbos, because it's a kesher shel kayama. Now it untied. So can I tie it back together? A machlok is Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. According to the Chachamim, the halach is, you can't tie it, but you can make a bow. Rabbi Yehuda's machmer. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't even make a bow. So the Gemara says, it's very interesting. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda was matter. And in that Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda's the machmer. Kasha de Rabbi Yehuda, de Rabbi Yehuda. Kasha de Rabbanon, ad Rabbanon. In our Mishnah, the Chachamim allow you to, Rabbi Yehuda allows you to use the weaver's rope. Over there, however, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow you to make the bow. And in our Mishnah, as it relates to the Chachamim, it's just the opposite. You're not allowed to use the weaver's rope, but over there you're allowed to make the bow. So who's the machmer and who's the mekel? This is a little confusing. Is Rabbi Yehuda the machmer? Is the Chachamim the machmer? So the Gemara says, you have a steer in the Rabbanon, you have a steer in Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara explains, Rabbanon, like Kasha, no, it's not. It's two different halachas. It's true. In one place, Chachamim are being mekel, in the other place, they're being machmer, but it's not the same halacha. It's not a head-on stira, chevel bechevel michlif. The Rabbanu were worried in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, you want to use the weaver's rope. They were concerned. You may confuse the weaver's rope with the traditional rope. So they said, you're not allowed to use it. I leave a big shiru lay mechalfa. Over there, the Chacham are telling you, you can tie a bow, even though you're not allowed to make a regular knot. That's exactly the Chacham were worried about. So they're worried about confusing the ropes. They're not worried about confusing the types of knots. Rabbi Yehuda is not worried about confusing anything. So he's not worried about a person making a mistake between the weaver's rope and the regular rope. So just because you're not allowed to use the regular rope doesn't mean you can't use the weaver's rope. At the end of the day, the chevel of the gardi is not a kesher shel kayama. You can do it on Shabbos. So why did Rabbi Yehuda become so machmer when it comes to making a bow? It's not a chumrah. It's not a gzera. It's because he holds anifa, tying, making a bow is the same as making a net. As a result, it's aser not because of a gezeira. It's aser because it's the real thing. Amar Ababa, Amar Abchi Barashi, Amar Rav. Maybe Yadam Chevo B'teich Beis. A person's allowed to take a rope from his house, V'koshev B'poro B'evos, and you're allowed to tie one end of it to a parah, and the other end of it to the little basket from which the parah used to eat. Esfir Rabacha, Aricha, Du Rabacha, Bar Papa, Du Rababa. Chevel Sheba Evos, Koshev B'poro, V'shev B'poro, Koshev B'evos. If someone has a chevel that's attached to an evos, this trough from which the animal eats. So you're allowed to tie the other end to the parah. Which have a parah, if one end is tied to the parah, kosher be'evos. You're allowed to tie the other end to the evos. So what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to bring a rope. The yikshar be'parah u'be'evos. You can't tie both ends. So if one end is already tied, you can tie the other end. But if no ends are tied, you're not allowed to tie both ends. It's a stira. Rav Chiya Barashi said in the name of Rav that you can bring a chevel mitoich be'evos. So be'kosher be'parah u'be'evos. And here we have a mefurish braisa where it says clearly if you want to tie one end, you can tie the one end. But to take a rope, take one end to the parah, the other end to the evos, that's not something you're allowed to do. So the Gemara says something similar to what we've been talking about. Hasel chevel da'ama, hachel chevel da'ga. Depends on what type of rope we're talking about. A traditional rope is something you wouldn't be allowed to tie on both ends. Can't take a regular rope and put it on the parah, put it on the evos, kesher shel kayama, that's a problem. What the Amiram we're talking about was a chevel da'gardi. Oh, a chevel da'gardi, the weaver's rope. Over there, it's more kula dig, and that's something you're allowed to tie on Shabbos on both ends, not only if one end was already tied. Omer Rabbi Yehuda Mashmol. So we mentioned the weaver's rope, so we're going to digress for a moment about Hilcha Shabbos related to the kalim that was used by the weaver. So again, in order to fully appreciate the next few lines, you have to be familiar with the weaver's loom and the malach of Mesach and Oysa Shtei Batei Nirim Ayin Shom. Says the Gemara, Kli Kivoy Mutter Letaltalam B'Shabbos. You're allowed to carry the weaver's kalim on Shabbos. The chiddush is, it's not a muksa problem. But name of Rabbi Yehuda, Koyved Elyon, Koyved HaTachtoin. Are you even allowed to carry the Koyved HaElyon and the Koyved HaTachtoin? These are two of the important parts of the weaver's loom. So first, Rabbi Yehuda said in, yeah. Then he said Velav, no. And then Rafia Biyadis. I'll tell you the truth, I'm not sure. Itmar, Amr Rav Nachman, Mashmul, Klik, Klivay, Mutul, Talfon, the Shabbos. You're allowed to carry the weaver's utensils. Rafilu, Koyved HaElyon, Koyved HaTachtoin. So what Rabbi Yehuda wasn't sure about, Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel is okay. Avaloya Samudim. But you're not allowed to take the posts. So these posts were used, Rashi says, for certain looms, and they were in the ground. They were literally dug into the earth. Amalei Rav al Rav Nachman. So Rav asked Rav Nachman, "Aishan Amudim Deloy? Why are you not allowed to take the Amudim? Meaning, you're telling me you're allowed to be metaltal his utensils, even the Kovid Elyon and the Kovid Atachten. So it doesn't sound like there's a Mukta issue. So if there's no Mukta issue, so why are these posts any different? So he told him, "Ilei me the Kovid Gumais Gumais. Is it because maybe you're worried about making a ditch? Not into a Mukta, but you're afraid that when you take the post out of the ground, now there's going to be a hole there, right? The posts are in the ground. When you remove it from the ground, you're going to have a little loch inside the ground. That's a problem. It could be boina, it could be chayresh. But he told him, man, gumois, memei lo kahavyan. The gumois are there anyways. Meaning, when you remove the post from the ground, now the guma is going to be visible. But you didn't create the guma. The guma was there before. So what? That shouldn't be a problem. And in fact, there's precedence from this. The gemara that we had earlier in the Masechta, it's a Mishnah Mesechtes Kelim. I tell you, if somebody hides, he does hatmana with different vegetables underneath a gefen, and if some of it is exposed, you can take it out. And there's no problem, meaning there's no Isser Kalayim if it was together with another species, and you're allowed to remove it on Shabbos. What do you mean? When I take these vegetables out of the ground on Shabbos, why are you not worried that now I'm going to see a guma? The teretz is because the guma was there anyways. I'm not creating the guma. So if I'm not creating the guma, so why then can I move all the weaver's utensils except for the posts because they're entrenched in the ground? So what? So if I take it out, what am I doing? I'm not creating the guma again. The guma was there anyways. You tell me there's no mukta problem. So what's the issue? So the Gemara says no. The issue is as follows. Besada, that Mishnah Masechtas Kalayim, the reason there's no issue is because it's in a field. Where do you have your lefes and your turnips and your radishes? That's in a field. You don't have it in your house, not in your living room, in the ground. It's in the field. Oh, in the field, it's okay. The reason it's okay is because there's no isser of creating a guma when you take it out. And there's also no concern that you may come to smooth the ground. Because people aren't worried about smoothing the earth in the field. Loi asi la shfuye gumbais. But over here, where was the weaver's loom? It was in your house. It was in your office. It was in your factory. Oh, here there's a concern that asi la shfuye gumbais. You may come to smoothen the ground. And ashfuye gumbais is one of the gezeros that the chamin were always very worried about. Just like Shemi Yavireno Dalaramis Peshus Rabin comes up a lot. Dilma Asi Lashfuye Gumais also comes up a lot. This was one of the issues that the Chachamim were always very worried about. But the point is they were concerned that if you're going to take these posts out of the ground, you can see, I have a hole in the middle of my dining room. It's not geschmack. So you may go and want to smoothen it out. That's already a gzeirah d'rabbanan. In the field, there's no gzeirah. So that's the issue. The issue is not mukta. The issue is not, you know, you're not creating a hole. The issue is, you're going to pull it out. You'll see a hole there. You may come lashfuye gumais. Boy, b'nei Rav Yoichem, Rav Yehuda bar Levi, kli kivoy, ki gan koivet ha'el yoyin, ve koivet ha'tachtoin, ma'al ha'taltalim b'shabbos. So this is simdritin mal. Is this okay? So we had Rav Yehuda's opinion as it relates to this. We had Shmuel, and now we have Rav Yoichem and asked Rav Yehuda bar Levi. These weavers, utensils, specifically the koivet ha'elyon and the koivet ha'tachtin. Mukta, not mukta, amalei, ein metaltalin. No. My time, he said, why not? The fish ain't need tallin. He said, because they're very heavy, and being that they're very heavy, so it's not something that's ever moved, being that it's not something that's ever moved on Shabbos, it's something that's going to be awesome. Vaiter, mekaflin, esakelim, I fill up over chamisha pavim. A person's allowed to fold clothing on Shabbos, even four or five times, four or five folds. Matzina, samitois, you're allowed to prepare beds on Shabbos, milei l'Shabbos, l'Shabbos. And you're even allowed to do it from Friday night to Shabbos day. Meaning, if you want to set a bed for Shabbos, you know, take a Shabbos afternoon nap, or maybe these were the couches that people used to sit on, right? People used to do haseba on beds. That's the way they ate. So these are things you're allowed to do on Shabbos. Avolim Shabbos, Maitzoy Shabbos. But if you want to make a bed on Shabbos to prepare it for Maitzoy Shabbos, that you can't do. Why? That's achano. You're not allowed to prepare from Shabbos to Maitzoy Shabbos. Rabbi Shmuel says, Mekaflin es hakelin, umatzien es hamitois, miyam ekipurin lo Shabbos. You're allowed to prepare from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. So from Shabbos, l'choil, that you're not allowed to do. But from Yom Kippur to Shabbos, you can. A similar halacha, chelvei Shabbos, kraven biyoyim hakipurim. If a carbon was brought on Shabbos, and now Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday, Maitzoy Shabbos. So today, Yom Kippur can't fall out on a Sunday. But let's say, back in the day, where Yom Kippur was able to fall out on a Sunday. So now it's Moitzoy Shabbos, which is also Leil Yom Kippur, this is Leil Kol Nidre, and you will have the fats of a carbon that was brought on Shabbos that you want to be makriv. So is that okay or is it not okay? So it says the Mishnah, Chelvei Shabbos, the fats of a carbon that were brought on Shabbos, Kreve B'Yom Kippurim, you're allowed to bring on Yom Kippur, Avalosh Yom Kippur B'Shabbos. But a carbon that was brought on Yom Kippur, it's fats you would not be allowed to bring on Shabbos. This is where Yom Kippur falls out on Friday. Another thing that can't happen today. But either way, that's something you would be. You can't go from Shabbos to Yom Kippur. You can't go from Yom Kippur to Shabbos. We'll see more about this. Amri debei Rabbanan. They said in the yeshiva of Rabbanan. So again, what is the first halach of the Mishnah? You're allowed to fold clothing even four or five times on Shabbos. So Rav Yana, as Yeshiva said, this is only true, but other mech, one person that's folding. If two people are going to fold the clothing together, loy, then it's not okay. So what's the difference? So Rashi says, if two people do it, it's going to be folded more precisely. As a result, it looks like you're perfecting the beged. So there's a makkah b'patish issue. There's a tikkun mana issue. And it's for that reason, it's not going to be okay. It continues. Uba adam echad, even one person. Nami loy amarin ela b'chadashim. Only new clothing is okay. Avol b'yishanim loy. Old clothing not. So new clothing, when you fold it, you don't really do much to it. But an old baguette, if you're going to iron it out, and then you're going to fold it, so it's a tikkun mana. Even one person is not allowed to do it. V'chadashim nami, even what we said, one person is allowed to. Loy amarin ela b'levan. It's only white clothing. Avol b'tzivuim loy. But if it's color clothing not. Rashi says, folding clothing, or like ironing it out, so to speak, works more. It's more effective with colored clothing than with. And this is also only true if a person doesn't have another beged to wear. So then, b'di'evet, one person, if it's white, you can use it. If he's able to change his beged, then it's not going to be okay. Tano, shalbeis, Rabbi Gamliel, lohi mekaflin kli lovin. In the Rabbi Gamliel's family, they never folded even white clothing. Because they always had other begodim to be able to wear. So before we go weiter, just to pause for 1 second. So what did Mishnah say? Mishnah says you're allowed to fold clothing on Shabbos even four or five times. But like is very often the case with a Mishnah, you have to read the fine print. There's a lot of exceptions to this rule. There's a lot of boxes you have to check off in order to really qualify to this halacha. It's only true if it's one person, not if it's two people. Even then, only a new beggar, not an old beggar. And even if it's a new beggar, only if it's white, not if it's colored. And even if it's new and it's white and it's one person, still, it's only if you don't have another beged. But if you have another beged, then this is something that you're definitely not allowed to do. But the first qualification The first qualification of the Mishnah was Loishanu Ela Ba'adam Echad. Avu B'shnei Bnei Adam Loi. So I saw in the Sefer Chashukei Chemed from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein Shlita. So he asked the following question, a riddle. We know that when it comes to Hilchas Shabbos, Shnayim Sha'asu is Potter. And really, it's a complicated sugya. Reb Meir and Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, and there's a barrier, Reb Yitzchak Elchanan and a Pleishua, and there's some intense rabbis. But the simple, the very, very elementary concept is that if one person does a malacha, he's chayiv. If two people do a malacha where either one could have done it by himself, zeh yachol v'zeh yachol, the halacha is you're going to be Potter. So Reb Zilberstein said, when is it possible that if two people do a malacha, it's actually going to be more chomer than if one person does a malacha? That was the riddle. So he said, I have three examples. The first one is the Gemara we just learned. One person is allowed to fold a beggar on Shabbos. Two people are not allowed to. This is counterintuitive to Hilchas Shabbos. Because in Hilchas Shabbos, Shnayim Sha'asu was always Potter. Here you have an example. It's a Mishnah, Mekaplin, Esakelin, Afilu, Arbav, Chamisha, Pavim. Amri, Debei, Rabbi Yanni, Loi, Shonu, El, Abad, Mechad. Avu, B'Shnei, Bnei, Adam, Loi. Shnei, Bnei, Adam, Loi. That goes against the grain of everything in Hilchas Shabbos. In Hilchas Shabbos, Shnayim Sha'asu is always supposed to be Potter. Here you have an example where Shnayim Sha'asu is going to be Chayav. Another example he said is that we know when it comes to the malacha of Haitzah, so there's different ways a person can transfer something from Rishos to Rishos. The conventional way is to carry. You pick it up in a Rishos HaYachid, you move it over to a Rishos HaRabim. We learned a parak called Perak HaZoyrek. If you throw something from one Rishos to another Rishos, you're going to be Chayav as well. There's also something called Moishet. Moishet means you hand it off. You take it, Reuven does, and he passes it over to Shimon. So if Reuven's in a Rishos HaYachid, and he hands it over to Shimon, he doesn't throw it at him, doesn't take it out himself, but he passes it. So the halach is, that too is something you're going to be chayef. The Mishnah said that if somebody is standing in a Rishos HaYachid, and he has a friend that's in a Rishos HaYachid, and he passes something to him, Mirishos HaYachid, Rishos HaYachid, Derech Rishos HaRab. If it's on the same side of the Rishos HaRabim, the halach is he's going to be chayiv. And the reason he's going to be chayiv is because that's what they did in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, the agolos, the wagons, all had a din of a Rishos HaYachid, and the Levian would take things from one wagon, hand it over to a lady that was on the other wagon. So it went from wagon, which is a Rishos HaYachid, le wagon, which is a Rishos HaYachid, Derech, the midbar, which is a Rishos HaRabim. So Rishos HaYachid, Rishos HaYachid, Derech Rishus HaRabim is Chayiv. And really, this is a very big Kiddush, because usually Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaYachim, Derech Rishus HaRabim, the Chachamim hold is Potter. They don't hold of Rabbi Akiva's Kluta, Kamishon Chadam, some of the hard Gemaras that we learned earlier in the Masechta. But Moishet, where it's Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaYachid, Derech Rishus HaRabim, where the two Rishus HaYachids are on the same side of the road, the halach is, even according to the Chacham, you're going to be chayav. So Tosfos on Daf Gimel brings a Yerushalmi, that Yerushalmi says, that being that this is a chiddush, ein l'chabay el chidushoy, the chiddush is limited to the exact details of the chiddush. What was the chiddush? Reuven took something from Rishos HaYachid, and he gave it to Shimon in a Rishos HaYachid, albeit a different Rishos HaYachid, and it went derech Rishos HaRabim. But what would if Reuven would take something in Rishos HaYachid, he would put it down in the other Rishos HaYachid? He would be Potter. It's only because Reuven gave it to Shimon, because the whole source of this halach is that's what the Levi did in the Mishkan. And when the Levim did it by the Melech HaMishkan, one Levi gave it to another Levi. So if one Levi would have done it by himself, he'd be Potter. But if a Levi gives it to another Levi, there is going to be Chayiv. So again, you have a case where if one person does it, he's Potter. But if two people do it, you're Chayiv. Moishet. Rishos HaYachid, Rishos HaYachid, Derech Rishos HaRabim. This is another example where even though usually two people engage is a kula, Shnayim Sha'asu. But over here, if two people do it, you actually be Chayiv. It gives a third example. The third example is interesting from a historical perspective. Not for today, but once upon a time at a bris milah, there wasn't one mile, there were 2 miles, 2 mohalim. And the reason there were 2 mohalim is one mile would do the milah and the other mile would do the priya. So the milah is just taking off the arla, the priya is removing a piece of skin that's underneath the arla. And both are integral to the milah, so much so the Mishnah says that mol v'loy para. Ki ilu loy mal. If someone does a bris milah and he doesn't do the priya, it's ki ilu loy mal. So what they were mechabed once upon a time was 1 mile would do the milah and then the other mile would do the priya. Shulchan Aruch says that if you do a bris milah on Shabbos, you should only have 1 mile. You shouldn't have 2 miles. What's the reason? Because milah on Shabbos really involves chilul Shabbos. It involves doing a malacha. But the Chazal learned from a pasuk b'yom hashmini afilu b'Shabbos. The halach is you do bris milah even on Shabbos. But that says the Shulchan Aruch is only if one person's doing the whole job. But if one person's going to do a halba maisa, so you're mal, which involves chol Shabbos, and
mal v'loy paraz ke'ilu loy mal. So you don't have mitzvahs mila to be doicha Shabbos. So you have no right to do it. So it says the Shulchan Aruch that when it comes on Shabbos, you should never use two mayalim. You can only use one mayal. Because the one mayal will do the whole job. So he's being mekayim the mitzvah. Well, you're being mekayim the mitzvah, you could do it. But if I'm mal and you're para, so my mila didn't accomplish the mitzvah. Because mal v'loy paraz ke'ilu loy mal. So I have no right to be doicha Shabbos. It's a very big chiddush what the Shulchan Aruch says in Lamdas. The Ramah argues. The Ramah says, why is that different that if one kohen did the shechita with a carbon in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos, and another one did the zrika, the shechita shachat v'loy zarak is ke'ilu loy nothing. So obviously that's not okay, and still it's mutter because it's part of an avodah that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. This is part of a meal you're allowed to do on Shabbos. It's a major lamdish shaila. We'll save it for Perek Reb Eliezer the meal. But for now, says Reb Zulbishen, it's another example that according to the sheet of the Mechaber, one mile can do mila on Shabbos. Two mayalim can't do mila on Shabbos. So you have three examples with shnayim she'asu, which usually is more kulidig on Shabbos. Here it's going to be more chamer. One person is allowed to fold clothing. Two cannot. One person can carry mishasayachel, mishasayachel derech, mishasarabim. Two people can't because it's moishit. One mile could do bris mila on Shabbos. Two mayalim can't do bris mila on Shabbos. Either way, we're talking about clothing on Shabbos. Folding clothing on Shabbos, you could only fold the clothing on Shabbos if you don't have any other clothes to wear. And the Gemara is going to digress a little bit and talk about Shabbos begadim. So this next Amid Gemara has a little bit of agadata, some very important yesoides and classic Gemaras as it relates to Shabbos and as it relates to Divrei Agada. Zok de Gemara. Omer Rav Huna said, if somebody has another set of clothing to wear on Shabbos, you should change your clothing on Shabbos. You're supposed to change your weekday clothing and put on special Shabbos clothing. Let's say a person doesn't have Shabbos clothing. At the very least, what the person should do is he should roll his pants down. So Rashi says that once upon a time, people who worked in the field, they used to roll their pants up for practical purposes. So if you're a worker who works out in the field, it comes Shabbos, you roll your pants down. So even though you didn't change your pants, but at the very least, you have a Shabbos to go look. Masla Rav Safra, v'mischazik Ramas Rucha. Isn't this gaiva? The Gemara says, no. Kibin the chol yoyim like ka'ovid. V'inna hu de ka'ovid like mischazik Ramas Rucha. This doesn't look like gaiva. This looks like you're being mechabed the Shabbos, says the Gemara. The Pasuk says, in Yeshaya Perek Menches. We'll get back to the Pasuk in the raid bite. But for now, in Toshav Mishabbos Raglecha, Asoyz Chafotzecha B'yoyim Kotshi, V'korosu L'Shabbos Oynig, L'Ktoish Hashem Mechubad, V'chibadetoy Mi'asoyz Terochecha, M'mtsoy Cheftzecha, V'daber Dover. There's a Pasuk in Yeshaya Perek Nunches, where the Yeshaya Novi talks about keeping Shabbos, and there's a lot of halachas that are learned out from this Pasuk. Number one, V'chibadetoy Mi'asoyz Terochecha, V'chibadetoy, what does that teach me? Shloyim, Babush Chosh Shabbos, Gemush Rechol, you should wear special Shabbos clothing. V'chiyod Rabbi Yoichanan, how do you know clothing is covered? Like, how do you know that clothing makes a man in the sense of a covered sense? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan said it. Imagine. Rabbi Yochanan kari lemani mechabdusi. He used to refer to his clothing as the thing that was mechabed him. Dress for success. We learn from there that a person's not supposed to walk on Shabbos the same way he walks during the week. We'll see what that means. Mimtsoi, cheftzecha, chafotzecha, asurim, cheftze shamayim mutarim. We learn from there that chafotzecha asurim, a person is not allowed to engage in his own personal matters. But cheftze shamayim is mutarim. Dover, shaloyehi diburcha shal Shabbos, ki diburcha shal chol. Yesprach, you shouldn't talk on Shabbos the same way you talk during the week. Dibur, asa hiru mutter, and that's only as it relates to talking, but to be maharer, that's already mutter. Says the Gemara. Bishlam kulu lachi. I understand everything that we just mentioned. I mean, it was saying that there's certain things that are supposed to be different on Shabbos than they are during the week. But the one thing the Gemara says, I don't understand this. Elosh loyehi luchach shal Shabbos, ki luch shachol. What does that mean? Don't walk on Shabbos the way you walk during the week? What does that even mean? So the Gemara says, ki hoda rav huna merav. Amri ba'am merav, abba merav huna. Hoyim halak b'Shabbos. Somebody who's walking on Shabbos, baga b'masamayim. And now there's a body of water. So what's he supposed to do? Im yochol aniyachas rag l'b'shenu kadosh shadak v'shniyo. If you can take one foot, put it across the river, or this water, and then take your other foot and do the same thing, mutter, it's going to be mutter. If not, aser, meaning you're not going to jump over. So the Gemara says, maskef lo rovo, hechi lav, then what should you do? Leikuf,
you want the person to go around, why is that a Shabbos thing to do? If you're going to walk around, it's going to take you time to walk around, so you're going to be matriach yourself, you're going to work a sweat, so that doesn't sound like the right thing to do. Liaver, should you go through it? Zimnin de mitavson, you're going to get wet, money your clothing will, naya, with water, then you may squeeze it out, you may come with the chita. Ella, the Gemara says, you're right, you do what you have, whatever you have to do. Ella, so the Gemara says, what then does it mean? What does it mean, shalai yehiluchach shal Shabbos ki yiluchach shal shachar? So the Gemara says, it's kideboy minei Rebbe, mi Rebbe Shmuel, b'Rebbe Yosi, maluf soy psi v'gaz v'Shabbos. Is someone allowed to take long strides on Shabbos? Oh, malei v'chi v'chol miyotcha. What, are you allowed to even do this during the week? Sh'ani yoy mepsila gasa, noy tell us, echa mi'cham eshmeyes m'ma erenov. If a person takes long strides, it can affect his eyesight. 1/500th of his eyesight he can lose. So the Gemara says, what happens if someone does that? U'mahadil l'b'kiddush et b'eshim shi. What you should do is you should take the wine from Kiddush, you put it on your eyes, and that's the refuah. Either way, so he said that psia gasa, that it can't be psia gasa, because again, Rebbe asked Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yosi, is a person allowed to take long strides on Shabbos? He told me not even take it during the week. So we just mentioned, just hold the thought for a second. We just mentioned something that Rebbe asked Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yosi, and Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Yosi told him that this thing that you're asking whether or not you can do on Shabbos, you can't even do during the week. So Gemara brings another example of this. Are you allowed to take are you allowed to eat dirt on Shabbos? You're never allowed to eat dirt. Why is it awesome? Because it's dangerous. If someone eats the dirt of Bavel, he's eating the basar of his Zedis, right? There were people that never wanted to go back to Poland because they felt they were walking on Yiddish blood and mamish the Yiddish offer. This is what it was. So he said that in Bavel, this comes from a Gemara. Rav Ami said, "Kolo oichel mi afreshal Bavel ki ilu oichel mi psara voisav," which it all became part of it, disintegrated into the ground. V'yeshem, and some say ki ilu oichel shkatzim v'ramasim. Some say it's as if he ate shkatzim v'ramasim. D'chsev v'yimaches as kolayukum. What does that mean? That after a mabul, all the mason of the mabul, everything, and the shkatzim v'ramasim, everything went into Bavel. I'm a Rish Lakish. In fact, Rish Lakish said, "Lamanik shman nishinor." Why is it called shinor Bavel? Shkol mason mabul ninurisham, because all the Mesei Babel, they all got semisht over there. Why is Babel called Metzula? She called Mesei Babel Netzalusham. Again, Solu Koyferes, Memai Madirim. They all sunk down there. V'yeshayimim, some say, Ki'ilu Eichel Shkatzim V'ramas. How can you tell me that if somebody eats the dirt of Bavel, it's as if he ate Shkatzim V'ramasim? So what's this basis on? Meaning, we just said like this, he can't eat dirt in Bavel. Why not? Because if someone eats dirt in Bavel, it's as if he ate the Besar Avoysa. That we understand, the amount of Yidden that were killed in Bavel over the years, so you're eating Besar Avoysa. We could relate to that. Kola Oichel Afar in Bavel, it's as if he ate Shkatzim V'ramasim. Why? Because everything after the Mabel ended up in Bavel. The assumption is even the shkatzim v'ramasim. But the Gemara says, "Vavadei ismachu ye ismachu." You would assume that all the shkatzim v'ramasim that ended up in Bavel, they became part and they became bottle. So if they became bottle, if a little bit of challah falls into a pot of chicken soup, you're allowed to eat it. Why? Because it's bottle. So these shkatzim v'ramasim over here, this is something that you're worried about. How could this be something you're worried? So the Gemara says, "You're right. Amri really chachamim didn't believe what they said, but given the malki being that it was dangerous, kazer be rabbanon. So rabbanon wanted that people should understand that it's dangerous, and that's why they said stay away from it." There was once a person that ate a little bit of dirt, and then he ate cress. He ate dirt, then he ate something else, and then the next thing you know, he got sick and he died. So Chacham said, "Don't eat offer." And the way they got people to understand that offer is very dangerous, and this is not something you're supposed to eat, is by saying that if you eat it, it's like you ate shkatzim v'ramasim. Shkatzim v'ramasim. No one's going there. Shkatzim v'ramasim. So this was just a deterrent. It was a way to get people not to eat it. It's interesting. We just mentioned the Gemara. The Gemara says that if somebody walks a psia gas on Shabbos, or if somebody walks a psia gasa even during the week, he can lose 1/500th of his eyesight. Gemara says, what should he do? What's the refuah for it? Gemara says, take the wine of Kiddush, put it on your eyes, and by putting it on your eyes, it's going to be okay. The Ritva has a discussion over here. Says, I understand. How are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? Refuah b'Shabbos. This was the topic at the beginning of the week. What happened to refuah b'Shabbos? See, he says, some Rishonim say that really doesn't mean put it in your eye. It means put it on your eye. On your eye is not something that's usher even on Shabbos, even with regular traditional refuahs, that's not something you have to worry about. But he says, there were those that said, you're not allowed to put it in your eye. So what happened to refuah b'Shabbos? Zok d'Ritva, I don't think this is a problem. He says, you know why? Because when is refuah b'Shabbos usher? If the refuah is a scientific thing. If the refuah is something that happens b'derech t- tivi. But this is bederech tivi? What, you take the wine of the Friday night kiddush, you put it in your eye, and that's going to improve your eyesight? This doesn't make sense, bederech hateva. This is bederech seguli. Oh, bederech seguli, there's no issue. You know why? Because what's the issue of refuah b'shabbos? Gzeira mishum shchika samamonim. So if this is traditional medication, we're afraid you might start making the ibuprofen in your backyard. That's a concern. But bedvarim seguli, and there's no gzeira mishum shchika samamonim. This is the esoy that we spoke at in the beginning of the week from the Elyur Rabba that the Mishnah Berurah reads, that you're allowed to go to a witch on Shabbos if someone needs a refuah, and she can recite some incantation, mirror, mirror on the wall, whatever she's going to say, that's going to give you refuah. Aye, what do you mean? What happened to refuah b'Shabbos? Oh, it's bederech seguli. Bederech seguli, no worries. It's a ritvah. It's a ritvah right here in this sugya where the ritvah says the same thing. That's why you're allowed to take the wine and put it in your eyes on Shabbos. This is refuah b'Shabbos. Oh, but this is refuah on Shabbos, like going to the sarshulim from Bells and asking him to daven with a kvittel. It's a refuah that comes bederech seguli. If it's bederech seguli, in this case, it's going to be okay. But we'll stop here a little prematurely and just talk a little bit about the last few lines in the daf that we learned. So the Gemara said that on Shabbos, a person has to make sure that the day looks different than a regular day. You can't walk on Shabbos the way you walk during the week. You can't talk on Shabbos the way you talk during the week. You don't dress on Shabbos the way you dress during the week. Where does it come from? It comes from a pasuk in Sefer Yeshayah. Now, the truth, this is a very, very important pasuk. So there's certain psukim in Nach from where we learn halachos. Perhaps the most important halachic pasuk in the entire Nevi'im Uksuvim is this pasuk. It's a Perek Yeshayah. It's Perek Nunches. It's pasuk Yud Gimel. So Yeshayah Novi said the following, Im toshuv mi Shabbos raglecha. If a person wants to walk very far on Shabbos, and then he realizes, I can't. Shabbos, I'm not allowed to go outside the tchum. Alpayim amah. So you return, Im toshuv, if you go back, miloshin v'shav, you go back on Shabbos from walking, because you recognize it's Shabbos. Asois chafotzecha b'yankotchi. If a person on Shabbos wants to do malacha, he wants to work, he wants to make money, lamites malachas, but you don't. Because it's Shabbos today. Asois chafotzecha b'yankotchi. Meaning, im toshuv mishabbos raglecha, or im toshuv, you hold yourself back from being asois chafotzecha b'yankotchi. The karasal is Shabbos oinig. And then you declare Shabbos as a day of oinig. You say that today's a day that I'm going to have pleasure, because this is a very special day. L'kdoish Hashem mechubad. Not just that, you're mechabed the Shabbos. V'chibadetoy me'asois derochecha. We just learned what that means. The Gemara says, you don't walk on Shabbos the way you walk during the week. Mimtsoy cheftzecha. You don't do on Shabbos things that you do during the week. V'dabedab, you don't even talk on Shabbos the way you talk during the week. Then what? Said Yeshayah Novi, Ostis Anagal Hashem. You're going to merit a tremendous oinig. V'hir kafticha al-bama seyoretz, v'hachalticha nachlis yakli v'vicha ki api Hashem dibor. You know what you're going to get? You're going to get, the reward will be that you're going to have pleasure in Hashem, and you're going to get nachlas yakiv. What's nachlas yakiv? Nachla b'li mitzorim. What does Hashem tell Yaakov? Ufaratz the yomah, the kedma, the tzafayna, the negma. There was no black and lot number. It was yomah, it was tzafayna, literally north, south, east, west. It's you're gonna have a nachla, you're gonna get bracha b'li mitzorim. There's gonna be no tzimtzum in the bracha that you're gonna get. What is this gonna come as a result of? Keeping Shabbos, tchum Shabbos, not doing malacha on Shabbos, oinig Shabbos, kovid Shabbos, special clothing on Shabbos, not talking on Shabbos, not walking on Shabbos the way you do during the week. If a person accomplishes all this, he's going to be zeicha to tremendous bracha. This is a pasuk in Yeshayah Perek Nunches, and Chazal learned important halachas, like we just mentioned, in Hilchas Shabbos from this pasuk. So it's amazing. From all the times that Shabbos is mentioned in the Torah, you have it in Daseres HaDibros twice, in Yisroel and Voschanun, and it's in Parshas Ki Sisa, and it's in Parshas Vayakil. I mean, Shabbos is mentioned again and again and again. The two mitzvahs that are disproportionately featured in the Torah are Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, because they're the two mitzvahs that are shakul connected all the mitzvahs. If a yid keeps Shabbos, it's the highest on the mitzvahs asei side, and Avodah Zarah is the lowest on the leis asei side. But from all the mentions that Shabbos has in the Torah, we have to wait for Yeshayah Perek Nunches to learn some very, very important halachas. In fact, the Rambam, B'Lashonei Hazav, the very end of Hilchas Shabbos, in Perek Lamed, we've mentioned this Rambam before. So the Rambam summarizes, as he always does, the laws of Shabbos. He says, Arba Dvarim Nemru B'Shabbos, there are four
categories of halachis as it relates to Shabbos. Shnayim in Torah, two midai raisa, v'shnayim midivrei soifrim, and two midirabbanim, v'hem mefurashan al yidei neviim. The two that are midivrei soifrim, it comes from the neviim, says the Rambam. Shebe Torah, zochar v'shomar. Zochar seim Shabbos l'kachoy, and shomar seim Shabbos l'kachoy. They're not just two mitzvahs, they're two categories. V'chen esparshu al yidei neviim, and as it relates to neviim, there's kavod and there's oineg. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'karasol haShabbos oineg u'lektoish haShem mechubad. So in the Rambam's world, Shabbos can be broken into four categories. Two are chamishei chumshei Torah. Two, one pasuk. Yeshaya perek nun ches, pasuk yud gimel, something worth thinking about. But just two ha'aras as it relates to this pasuk. One as it relates to a person's not supposed to walk on Shabbos the way he walks during the week. And one as it relates to the fact that a person's not supposed to talk on Shabbos the way he talks during the week. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Shabbos, in Simen Shin Aleph, Sif Katan Aleph says, Ein Loritz b'Shabbos. You're not supposed to run on Shabbos. Elam Kein Udadvar Mitzvah. Unless you're running to do a mitzvah, you don't run on Shabbos. So what's an example of a mitzvah? Ki goyim lebeis haknesses, ki yoytzavar. So if someone's running to a beis haknesses or something similar to that, then you're allowed to run on Shabbos. But other than that, no running on Shabbos. The Vilna Gaon in the Bir HaGros says, what's the makar to this? He says, the makar is a Gemara Masechtas Brachos, Davav Amideis. The Gemara says as follows, V'amar Rav Chelboi, Amar Rav Huna, Yoytzim Beis HaKnesses, if someone's leaving a shul, Al Yafsiya Psiya Gasa, you don't run out of a shul, right? You walk out of the shul. You don't run out of the shul. We're going to learn the Gemara in a few days that Chazal, when they left Har Sinai, they left Ketinoik HaBereach MiBeis HaSefer. They were like kids where the bell just rang. It's recess. They stormed to the backyard. This is the way Klal Yisrael left Har Sinai. But it's inappropriate. You're not supposed to go Ketinoik HaBereach MiBeis HaSefer. So HaYoytzei MiBeis HaKnesses, sensitively. Al Yavtzei Yavtzei Agas. Amra Baya. Lo Yamar Ela Meip. That's only true if you're leaving. Ava Lameil. Mitzvah Lamerid. You run. Shemi Yavi Reno Dalan Armas Peshus Arabim. You jump. Shenemar near the fall. Vodas es Hashem. The pasuk is supposed to run to know Hakadosh Baruch. You run into Beis Haknesses. I'm Rab Zeir. Rab Zeir. Seven Reish. Kavah Chazidu. The Rabbanon the Karati. The Pirkei Shabbato. I used to see the Rabbanon. They would run to shear on Shabbos. Amina. I used to say, Come Mechal Yin Rabbanon Shabbato. They're being Mechal Shabbos. But even the Shemana Allah. The Rab Tanchu. I'm Rab Shul Ben Levi. But then I heard something. The Rab Tanchu said in the name of Shul Ben Levi. Lo Oylam Yarat Sadam Ledvar Alacha. A person should always run to hear a shear. Va'afilu b'Shabbos. Even on Shabbos. Nemar, because the pasuk says, this is not Yeshaya, this is Hosea. Achrei Hashem yelchu ka'arye yishok, ki hu yishak v'yachridu banim miyam. A person should run after Hashem, because Hashem is like a roaring lion. He says, oh, achrei Hashem yelchu ka'arye yishok. He said, when I heard that pasuk, ano nami rahitno. I started running myself. The Vilna Gaon, in his Sefer Imrei Noyam, and the truth is the Marsha and the Neidbun and the Tzlach say something similar, but the Vilna Gaon says it with a special knitch. And they says that if you go through the Gemara brought two psukim. Reb Chelbei said, "Nei Rav Huna, don't run out of shul, but you can run into shul." How do I know that? The pasuk says, "Nir defa l'dasas Hashem." What does nir defa mean? Bakei shalom v'radfeu, a roideth. Run to know Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Then Reb Zeiro said, "When I used to see the rabbanon running to learn on Shabbos, I thought they were being mechal Shabbos." But then I heard what Rav Tanchum said in the name of Shulam Levi. La'olam yaretz adam l'dvar alocha filu b'Shabbos. Shenemar achrei Hashem yelchu ka'arei yishok. Then already I realized that it's something that's okay. So the gedolei achroinim were all bothered. They all asked, why did Reb Zeiro bring a different pasuk? Or why did Reb Shulam Levi bring a different pasuk? We brought two pasukim in this Gemara that there's an idea to run to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Near the follow da'ses Hashem. And then achrei Hashem yelchu ka'arei yishok. Why do you need two pasukim for this? I mean, you see from the first pasuk, there's an idea to run towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why do I need another pasuk of Achrei Hashem Yelchu Ka'ara Yishak? It's a good question. So the Vilna Gaon said, beautiful. He said, you know what the pshat is? He says, because from the first pasuk, all you see is that there's a mitzvah, there's an inyan to run to Hashem. But that doesn't mean you're allowed to do it on Shabbos. If running on Shabbos is not okay, the Gemara we just learned, the Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shinayin, you don't run on Shabbos. Rav Zeira said, you thought the Rabbanon would be Mechal Shabbos. Who cares if it's a mitzvah? You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for a mitzvah? Of course not. So why is that okay? It's still not okay. If your father tells you to do something on Shabbos, you don't listen. Because you're not Mechal Shabbos for a mitzvah. So if you're not Mechal Shabbos for a mitzvah, so then why should that be any different? So you know what? Rav Tanchum said in the name of Rav Shulam ben Levi, there's another pasuk. The pasuk says, Achrei Hashem Yelchu Ka'arei Yishog. We compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a lion.
said the Vilna Gaon, that if a person appreciates that his Yetzer Hara is like a lion, that a person understands that if he's outside of Beis Medrash, he's at risk. And if it's Shabbos afternoon and he wants to go learn Torah, until he learns Torah, the Yetzer Hara is able to chop him. So said the Vilna Gaon, that just like you're allowed to run away from a lion on Shabbos, but Nesha who sakana came mutal livroyach min ayetzahara velelech achri Hashem afilu b'Shabbos. That's why Reb Zera brought the other pasuk, because when the pasuk of nirdefal adas Hashem, all you see is that there's a mitzvah, but that's because the mitzvah doesn't mean you could do it on Shabbos. If running constitutes on some level chil Shabbos, you're not allowed to do a mitzvah chil Shabbos. But you know why he brought another pasuk? Because in the other pasuk you see a different nakuda that the Yetzer Hara is like a lion. He's like a lion. Lion is very dangerous. That means if you're in the clutches of the Yetzer Hara, it's sakonis nefashis. So to run to Beis Medrash is sakonis nefashis. You're literally running away from the lion. You're running away from the Yetzer Hara. That's what the Vilna Gaon said. That's the roaring lion in that pasuk. It's referring to the Yetzer Hara. And that's why Reb Zera said, oh, then you could do it on Shabbos. Because to run away from the Yetzer Hara is considered literally sakonis nefashis. And for sakonis nefashis, you could do whatever you want. And that's why he brought this pasuk. So fascinating. But for Dvar Mitzvah, yeah, why? Not because near the Faladas Hashem, that wouldn't be enough of a heter. Because if it's Aser based on Yeshaya Nun Ches Yud Gimel, near the Faladas Hashem is not going to help me, because it's still Chil Shabbos. Oh, but Kariyeh Yishog, if the Yetzahar is a lion, if it's Sakonis Nefashos, your Nefesh, your soul is at risk because you're in the clutches of the Yetzahar, then you run, then you do whatever you have to do. And that was this pasuk, Kariyeh Yishog. You're allowed to run. Why? Because you're running away from a lion. What came to mind is a Beis Halevi that we've mentioned in the past, where the Beis Halevi answers the Evan Ezra's kasha. It says in the Torah, Lo Sachma, you're not allowed to covet your friend's item. And the Evan Ezra says, philosophically, he doesn't understand Lo Sachma. Lo Sachma is something that happens in your machshava. How can you tell a person what to think and what not to think? How can you control what a person wants? You want to tell me that even though I covered that, I shouldn't pursue it? Yeah, that's fine. But how can you tell me what to covet? Covet is something that's totally ben machshava. How could you do that? So the Beis Halevi says, I'll explain it to you in a mashal. Imagine there's a person, he's about to do a taiva. He succumbed to his yetzahara. He's done. He's about to go and he's going to do a taiva. And he had to run across a river. The river was frozen. And he was running across it to go to do this avera that he was about to do. And as he was running across the river, he starts hearing crackling. And the river's about to give in and he's about to go under. He says, I don't care who this person is. He's not going to say, I don't care. I'm going to swim across the ocean. He's going to get scared, and the pacha, the yira that he has, is going to inevitably take away a little bit of the taiva that he had to do an avera. So the Beis Halevi said that if a person would have the proper fear of an avera, if a person would see the Yetzahara, the avera as a lion that's roaring, if he would understand the sakana that's involved in doing an avera, he would be overcome by fear, and he wouldn't even have the taiva. He wouldn't even have the Yetzahara to do an avera. So the Beis Halevi says, you want to know how it's possible for the Torah to control your machshava? Because if you work on your Yerushalayim and you realize that an Aveira is like a roaring lion, it's Ariyah Yishog, Milo Yira, that's going to stop you. That's going to stop you in your tracks. That can control, and then anything can happen. So the point is, how do we get a person to not be Loi Sachmoid? Work on the idea that this is the most dangerous thing in the world. And if this is the most dangerous thing in the world, then you're just like the biggest Baal Taiva will lose his Taiva. Because of, he says, that's the secret of what Moshe Rabbeinu said, Kim Li Yira Oisi. What is it, Kim Li Yira Oisi? Because a little bit of Yira, a small dosage of Yira can push away, says the Beis Halevi, the gress the taiv in the world. That's the Koyach of Yira. Because when you're afraid, if there's a fire that's burning and you're about to do an Avera in that house, you're going to run out of the house. That's just the reality. So if you're going to run out of the house, so that's the point. The point is, if the Eitzar is a fire, if it's an Ari, like this, you're not going to do an Avera. Rabbi from Yeshua says over a story that somebody once came to the Beis Halevi. He came to Beis Halevi, it was a gvir, and he came to him and he brought him a very large amount of money. Beis Halevi used to collect money for people, and he went to the Rebbe and the Rav of Brisk, and he came to him and he gave him a zekel of money, he said. And as the Beis Halevi got the money, he was holding it in his hand, all of a sudden somebody comes knocking on the door, and there was an almana there. And the almana came And she said that Nebuch, her husband, died, and she has children, and she's trying to support them, and the landlord wants to throw her out of the house, and she doesn't know what to do, and she's in a very dire situation. Maybe the Rav can help me. So the Beis Halevi said, you came at the perfect time. And he took the money, this whole stack of cash, and he gave it to this woman, and the woman walked out, and the Gvir was very disappointed. He says, the Beis Halevi never even counted the money. He didn't even know how much money it was. I mean, here he thought he's giving the Rav a big nedava, at least get a little tivus hanav from the whole thing. He wanted him to see. He gave him $18,000, at least counted. He says he literally walked there. He gave the money to that money. He never even counted it. And he couldn't control himself. And he told the Beis Halevi, he says, Kvod Harav, I'm sorry, I hope this is not inappropriate. He says, but I don't understand, I gave you all this money. He didn't even count it. How did you not count it? It's not appropriate. I give it to you. That's the right thing to have done, would to be to at least be machshavit. So the Beis Halevi says, you don't understand. He said, when I saw this Amana walking through the door, Habach Gezein Tzvei Bixen. He said, I saw two guns. It says in the Torah that if an oni walks into your house, Lo Tza'amitzes Levavcha, V'lo Sikpaisetz Yotcha Mi'akchicha Evyon. There's two laven in the Torah where the Torah says you have to make sure that you take good care of the oni. He says, I saw two guns. There were two snipers that were pointing at me. He says, you expect me to count money? He says, can silent geld? He says, I'm supposed to count money. I see two guns pointing at me. I saw them. I had no choice. I had to give him the money. I was supposed to count. I didn't have the yeshiva das to count. So he said, Rabbi Yeshua said over the Beis Halevi in Parshas Yisroi about Lo Sachmed, and he said, this was the Beis Halevi. He was a not Dairish of Mekayim. I think this Vilna Goyen, Ka'ariya Yishak, is a little bit of a tzushal to this. But this is the first aura. The second aura is, the Gemara mentioned, a person shouldn't talk on Shabbos the way he talks during the week. Shabbos, your deeper has to be different. So what does it mean? Ki Shabbos, Rashi says, Tap Rashi, Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, Kigoy Mekachu Memke V'Cheshboinus, Nishtav Shabbos Garet. Don't do business on Shabbos. That's what it's referring to. What does it mean, don't talk on Shabbos? Don't do business. Tosfos says, V'ein Nero L'Rabbeinu Tam. This Rabbeinu Tam said, no, that's not what it means. Doing business is, we know, is us anyways. I don't have to come on to, don't talk the way you talk during the week, business. Don't do business even without talking. You're never allowed to do business on Shabbos. So Rabbeinu Tam says something fascinating. He says, you know what this means? Reb Shimon ben Yechai had a mother, an older mother. She was a safta. She was an older woman. She used to talk a lot. So Reb Shimon ben Yechai told his mother, Ima Shabbatuhu, it's Shabbos today. Shaska. She was quiet. So Mashma, you know what you see from here. She ain't kol kach ledaber b'Shabbos k'moy b'cha. Rabbeinu Tam said, you're not supposed to talk so much on Shabbos. During the week, whatever. But on Shabbos, you're not supposed to talk so much. Ubi Yerushalmi Amrinon. And then Rabbeinu Tam quoted the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, B'toirech he tiru b'she'ila shalom b'Shabbos. It was b'koishi that they were matter a person to even say shalom aleichem on Shabbos. Even that's b'toirech. Even that's not something, even that's not something you're supposed to do. But the point is, as we have a machlokes Rashi Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rashi, don't talk on Shabbos during the week. Business. Rabbeinu Tam says, no, it has to do with business. What it means over here is that there's an idea, don't talk so much. How do I know it? It's a Vayikra Rabba, it's a Yerushalmi. Rav Shimba Yechai's older mother, she used to talk a lot. And Rav Shimba Yechai said on Shabbos, it's Shabbos today. Oh, it's Shabbos? He says, then she knew to be quiet. So what do you see from here? That Miretnish as I feel on Shabbos. Not just that, but Torech, he tiru b'shei l'shalom b'Shabbos. I saw Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and his Emes Yaakov on this Gemara says, maybe that's why the minig is that on Shabbos when you meet your friend, what do you say? You say, good Shabbos, Shabbat Shalom. He says, why do you say good Shabbos? Why do you say Shabbat Shalom? If you meet your friend during the week, what do you say? Shalom Aleichem. Why Shalom Aleichem? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Shalom. We learn it from Boyaz. Shalom Aleichem. There's an idea that may God be with you. You're giving the person a bracha. It's a min and the bracha. This is something that Chazal talked about. So why on Shabbos, all of a sudden, you don't say Shalom Aleichem? What happened to Hashem's name? You say good Shabbos. So maybe Shabbos is, but still, what happened? So it says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, it could be because on Shabbos, b'toyrech hitiru b'shei l'shalom b'Shabbos. So we make a shinur. You know, we tell the person, good Shabbos. Then you're going to, oh, it's Shabbos today. So I understand. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to schmooze. We're not going to do a spot now because it's Shabbos today. So as a result, it's a way of telling the person, acknowledging, I'm letting you know it's Shabbos today. As a result, it's going to be a little bit different. But I'll tell you something interesting. Tosfos quotes this with Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai's mother, B'toyrech hitiru b'shei l'shalom from two places. Vayikra Rabba. And he quotes it from a Yerushalmi. But the truth is, it's in a third place as well. It's in a Psikta Rabasi. And the Psikta Rabasi just adds one knitch. Ksiv Shabbos L'Hashem Elokecha. Rab Tanchuma V'Amri Rab Eliezer B'Shem Rab Meir. Shvois Ke'Elokecha. It's beautiful. A person should rest like Hashem. Malik Hashavas mi Maimer, just like a Kodesh Baruch who rested from talking, af ata shvois mina Maimer. You should also rest from talking. What does that mean? We rest because a Kodesh Baruch who rested. Had a Kodesh Baruch who rest, he stopped making the world. Had Hashem create the world. Bidvar Hashem Shem Mayim Nasu, Uvruach Piv Kol Tzvam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Dibur, Basorim Mamoris Nivra Oilom. It's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested, how did he rest? He stopped talking. That was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't create the world with hands. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with Dibur, Basorim Mamoris Nivra Oilom. So it says the Psik Torah, it's literally, it's the Vayikra Rabbah, it's the Yerushalmi with one beautiful Haysafa. The idea is, when we don't talk so much on Shabbos, we're doing what Hashem did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rested from talking. Ma Elokecha Shavas Mi Maimer. Af Ata, so you Shvois Min HaMaimer. You should rest Min HaMaimer as well. Either way. So we talked a little bit about Shalai Yehei. Hi Luchach B'Shabbos Ki Luchach Shalchoil. We talked a little bit about Shalai Yehei Di Burcha B'Shal Shabbos Ki Di Burcha Shalchoil. We still have to talk about Shalai Yehei Malbushech Shal Shabbos. We have to talk about Rabbi Yaakov Emden's famous chiddush that a person shouldn't even learn Torah on Shabbos the way he learns during the week, but we're going to save that for the next stuff.